learn that.
We've got some funny outtakes for after.
Yeah, we have. We have. Yes.
That's all I'm saying.
Meep, meep. Okay, we'll put it at the end. Just so hang. Yeah, it's an incentive to hang until the end of the recording.
Indeed. And I also am going to remember this time to remind all our bubblers, because a few people have said to me, going, where can I find out more information about the things you've talked about? And we always forget to mention our website.
And yes, and the website's awesome. Facebook. I too forgot about the website because you're the one that updates
it. It's such a great website. It's a great website. It's at outofthebubble.com.au.
Nice little tiles with each episode, so you can just click to the one you want, and then it's got links to everything.
All the books, all the TV shows,
to Natalie,
movies.
Who does all the hard yards behind the scenes.
But you are
production.
Bringing us up to speed on the technology, yeah, even though it's not working today.
I did forget to judge the mics.
Slight technical mishap. And yeah. Sorry to our bubblers for last time of cutting out. We were actually having a very good conversation about the referendum, actually.
Yeah, so we can maybe, yeah, we
Shall
maybe
we
touch,
there?
Touch on. Well, let's start there. Let's
because
start
you are wearing a Yes jumper, T-shirt rather.
Yes T-shirt, yeah.
It's another hot July day. That's something else to talk about, about how hot it is in Europe and the fires, and it's been the warmest July here in Sydney.
Warmest July, I mean, I'm just making arrangements with a friend to go swimming in the ocean for the first time on this Sunday because, I mean, it
really?
Sort of feels like spring, so why not? Why not?
Why not? Okay, I'll give you a few reasons why not. Okay. It's really cold.
I changed my mind.
It's like the water is, the winter current has come in. It's like breeze.
It is, yeah, it's
you might
19.
Freeze your boobs off.
Yeah, but we'll feel so heroic.
You will, I give you that.
Yes, yeah, I'll be in for 3 seconds.
Truth is, I actually have such respect for you.
It's
for
not laps, it's just like a plunge.
It. No, no, it's like the tea bag. In
it's
and
the
out.
Tea bag.
Now. We're talking that in the G-rated issue, people.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Well, we'll just do a quick little bit of the voice because I did a bit of a rant
yes,
last time.
Yes, I think so. That was – it was a fantastic – it wasn't a rant. Sorry.
Was it
wasn't
a rant.
Because a rant has, no. like, sort of – I don't know, connotations of something like you're a bit loony and you just need to like vent some about something that's actually irrational, when actually what you were talking about was so fantastic and brilliantly eloquent as you are.
Well, thank you. And I can't remember a single thing I said, but I have been, I can recommend some very easy reading.
Mm-hmm.
I've only just, partly way through it, but Kerry O'Brien and Thomas Mayo have a very small book, almost like an extended pamphlet on The Voice.
Mm.
It's got a bit about the history of the Uluru Statement of the Heart, how they did a sort of a very extensive information gathering, going around to really diverse groups, getting feedback that developed into the statement. And it wasn't just a few people in a room writing. It was really a very extensive process, and it's helpful to know that, I think, how that's been done. And of course The Voice is just the very first part of that.
Yeah,
that's worth having a read, and I'll put a link to it in the bio.
Yeah, sure.
And the other thing, I have read the provision that is proposed, and I think I said last time it's very straightforward, and I it's a shame that it's not more widely available or promoted, but what we're voting on is setting up a provision for The Voice to exist.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to do that because the Constitution allocates powers, and it's just basically a big kind of mechanical instrument. It's not very edifying reading, but you just have to give the federal government the power to set up the institution. The second part is that The Voice, once it exists, may make representations to the Parliament.
It's not has to.
Doesn't have
may.
To. May about matters pertaining to First Nations people. It's about listening to people and probably some uncomfortable listening as well, which no one wants to do, but it's necessary. And the third part is it gives the Parliament the ability to make laws about the way The Voice operates. So that's just part of normal democracy. So that's it. That's what we're voting on.
Why do you think the No campaign is gaining so much momentum?
Well, I was reading that they're getting a lot of it's a bit shadowy, the organisations that are sort of behind it. I don't know much about them, but and there was a few articles about links to sort of fundamentalist Christian movements in the US and how they've been able to kind of really twist the narrative on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably part of it, and sort of fairly some hysterical sort of stuff in the paper. But I mean, that's all fine. Like that's maybe how some people want to be in the world, whatever. But if you've got an ability to vote. Yeah, good on you, champ. That's what I think too.
That's how I feel when I hear people wanting to vote no against
The Voice. Right. But also just have a look, like go and read what you're voting about. Mm-hmm. Like, I really feel like that's just the starting point, and it's really not, when you read it, it's not difficult language to understand. So, but people, I think there's often a misconception about what the Constitution is. Like, it's some big bill of rights. I mean, it's just not. Like, it's
we
got
don't
some...
even have freedom of the press in our Constitution.
No. I mean, there's, what's the bit from the castle? The right to not have acquisition of land on unjust terms. Like, it's actually quite funny when you read
it. It's the vibe. It's the Marbo.
Yeah, the Marbo. And again, like, with things like, it originally just said that the federal government had power to make laws about marriage. It never mentioned de facto relationships, so that had to be put in by referral from the state. So anyway, that's my little bit to say about that. So just go and read it. That's all.
So I know you went.
Then you can decide how you're going to vote.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point about actually being like read up on the information. Because the conversations that I've had with a few people who are voting or want to vote no haven't read.
No.
Anything about the actual voice in the context of what's been proposed. They're just basing it off what they've spoken to someone about.
Yes.
And so they feel like, oh, they're worried about the change and they're fearful of what is it going to do to our government, and suddenly is it going to be overrun by Indigenous people? I'm like, oh my God. Am I actually hearing this right? Like, that is just classic sort of racism discriminatory beliefs around... fear and, that, Indigenous people are going to come and take our jobs or the Chinese are going to take our jobs or whatever. Like, that completely bizarre, I find that very unusual for me.
Because exactly.
Firstly,
yeah.
They are consistently and institutionally, unfortunately, there's a hell of a lot of racism, and it's systemic. It's like... everywhere, from our justice and legal system through to education, medical, every aspect of our society.
Yeah,
just to give them a little bit more of a leg up, and then also, like you said, having those uncomfortable conversations. We don't want to acknowledge that we live in this beautiful country, and yet we're one of the most racist countries in the world.
We don't really know the history of what's happened. Like, it's just not taught. It's not. Yeah, that's right.
I was not taught to the same level that my children were taught about Indigenous history. It was so whitey McWhite white, and it was all because also I was at school during the bicentennial, so I got a coin, and it was all, it's great.
Back in the 80s, we learnt about Aboriginal people as if they were the ancient Egyptians or the Incas, gone, this is how they used to live. It was actually so shocking.
It was ancient history.
And when we go to Dukmingan as part of the school program, and I was surprised to discover that English is not the first language spoken. You just the eye-opening of just stepping into that's a remote community, but who knows that's the case. How can you compete on an even playing field? So that's that. Let's.
I find it hilarious that we're in a massive park recording a podcast, and 3 meters away, despite there being an entire park around us, a young family
and a bird.
We've got
a
noisy and a bird. It's like, oh Jesus.
So always
Want to ask you one more thing about The Voice.
Yes.
So you went to the launch rally because that's how we started, and you did a really good post, which we still haven't shared, but I want to, because I thought that was really well articulated. There were great links in there, and I think our bubblers, it would be good for them to read that and see that. But have you heard of any other rallies or anything else?
Yeah, I think it's a grassroots organisation that's behind the Yes campaign for the referendum. And they've got a really great website. I think it's Yes23. And what they're doing now is building, I just actually signed up on the volunteer page, they're building sort of a group in each electorate is their aim.
Okay.
And then to get to teach people how to talk about it
and advocate.
And I saw that Waverley is running an advocate program, half day program. I think that they haven't really ramped up yet, but
Because it's only November and it's July now, practically August. I reckon over the next month or so it'll start ramping up, because if you do it too early
that's
so whilst
right,
the no campaign's point. quite vocal at the moment. I'm hoping that the yes vote
will start to get some. Yeah. And I think it happened with the marriage equality as well. We thought, oh, is this going to get
close,
up? And
then,
at the end, it felt like there was a real groundswell just at the end. Mm. So I guess politicians kind of do that as well. They kind of go hard at the end because you don't want to leave too much room.
It's the recency effect. You're likely to vote for something you hear and associate with in a positive way most recently.
That's right, yeah.
You also don't want to get too overwhelmed with too much information then shut it out either.
Yeah, exactly. And also just think stuff like this, like pop your T-shirt on. If it becomes normal to vote yes and have a conversation about it and talk about what you don't understand, then that's going to make it easier for that to get up. And I think it's everyone's scared of change. It's fine. It's normal. But, it's pretty straightforward in my view.
Well, I'm going to go and sign up myself. I think I may have already because I did get something in my email that I just haven't checked.
Yes.
Life is busy. Third party again.
Yeah, it's like the epicenter of
it's like turn on the recording and everyone will pass us in the middle of Centennial Park where there's, I'm serious, like hundreds of meters of greenery in every direction, and yet we're like
life
magnetic.
Okay, bird watchers will go past soon.
Exactly.
All right. What else?
What else?
Lighter note.
On a much lighter note. The child's about to throw the stick at these poor people. So what have you been up to over the last few weeks? Because firstly, I'm very proud of us for actually recording again in a few weeks' time rather than 6 months.
The mojo back. what have been happening? Oh, so the thing that springs to mind is a little bit of TV to start. So have you seen The Bear?
It's funny you should say that. So we had a work trivia night last night and that came up and I'm like, I've seen it advertised. I haven't seen it. Is that about the cocaine bear or is that a different one?
No, it's a restaurant based
is it
series.
Reality?
It's fictional and it's I think the second season has just dropped, which is why it's sort of been popping up a bit. And so we just started watching the first season. We're about 4 eps in. Oh, it's great.
Is it?
Great. Yes, yeah. It's kind of the premise is this kind of, he was worked for a top chef, like the best restaurant, and there's a few flashbacks around that. The chef is Jeff from Community with a beard. As in the boss from the restaurant, not the main character. And the main character is kind of this kind of, Sean Penn meets Dustin Hoffman when he was young kind of character, like kind of
out on the eyes.
Italian tattooed. Nice. I think I saw some really
selling it.
Well, yeah, no, but it's kind of like appealing, weird looking guy, kind of that kind of thing. I don't know, whatever that is.
Yeah, I feel you. I'm feeling you. I'm now wanting to watch this just based on your description.
And it's kind of grungy. It's almost like something that was made in the 80s now. Mm. And they've got this great soundtrack of kind of old music and new music and like really good soundtrack. And it's like kind of this, when you watch it, it's like being in a really loud nightclub. Like stuff's happening and they're cutting away. Like you just go, oh my God.
It's so intense.
So intense. So that's great. Really good. And then kind of quite a lot of great food kind of stuff going on as well. So, highly recommend
it. Sounds like the perfect combination.
And
nightclub.
Short episodes. Like
short,
half
even
an
better.
Hour.
So we've got short episodes, fast-paced and interesting, good music, and people who are pleasing to the eye.
Pleasing to the eye, exactly.
It's a winner-winner kitchen dinner as far as I'm concerned. Something for everyone? Is it family-orientated,
No, not family-orientated. No. No, probably not. No. Although, let me think
depends.
About it.
Our,
no,
our
not really.
Are a little older.
Nothing's really...
Oh, what was that?
Yeah. It's the end of the world, man.
That was quite a loud bang.
What was that?
I don't know.
Oh.
Okay. Well, it was nice knowing you people, and whoever finds this recording, if there's something like a poof and we're all out of here.
We're at least
I love you, Liz. That was really a loud
bang. My God.
Oh, let's just hope it was some construction disaster. Oh, no, I don't want a disaster, but like nothing too serious. I don't know, like a crane falling over.
Could it have been,
you know how they're building the tunnels?
Are they?
You know, out west.
Oh, okay, maybe.
And maybe they dug
just did a next bit.
Like an explosion?
Yeah. With my oven on or something. It's coming from Randwick.
Well, you mean your gas blew up?
Yeah.
Don't laugh, that's happened to me.
What?
Yeah.
Oh,
it didn't blow up. Just a sidebar.
Oh.
So what happened was the people who'd renovated the house before we got moved in, this is like my kids were little, so maybe 15 years ago. No, 15 years ago. Anyway, they had a gas cooktop and they put a drawer underneath the gas cooktop. So normally you would have an oven.
Store the matches.
Or almost. Or you'd have either an oven under a gas cooktop, usually. Yep. Ours was on the wall, but the gas cooktop was there. So, but anyway, so fast forward, what they'd done is that they put the gas pipe was not a metal pipe. It was a flexible, you know, they've got the material pipes.
Yeah.
You're not meant to use that. Particularly when there's a drawer that opens and closes and then eventually wears away, so that there was a slight gas leak. So I'm cooking the pasta and then my kids were in the bath, so I had it on low. And then next thing I know, I'm smelling smoke. So I go into the kitchen and I can't see any smoke, but I can smell it. This is really strange. So I go to open the drawer to get something to start cooking and flames burst out at me. So I'm like, oh my God. I closed the drawer, turned the stove off thinking that might be enough. But then obviously I didn't know because maybe something caught alight. I didn't know because, you know, kitchen's made of wood, a lot of it. And my kids, who were very little, were in the bath. So, and it was winter. So I grabbed them, took them out, called the fireys once we were outside. Our neighbours were home, thankfully, so we didn't have to stand outside. I grabbed them each a banana, I don't know why, because it was dinner time. And I thought, oh my God, I can't have screaming children. I don't know. And then, yeah, and it was fine, but half the kitchen got burnt. So we had to move out that night.
Get a fire extinguisher for the kitchen.
Oh, you don't have one?
No, I don't.
Really?
Should get one. Okay. Making a note.
Bubblers. Everyone needs to have a fire extinguisher in their kitchen.
Yeah.
I've always had one.
It's a really responsible episode.
Thank you.
Lots of messages.
PSA, public service announcement.
High message level.
Yes, well, it is. And I did have a fire extinguisher, but my first instinct, though, was get the kids out.
Yeah.
Not put the fire out.
Yes.
Maybe I should have done that.
No, I think that's right.
My kids first. Like, the house is so secondary.
Did you drop down low and go?
Didn't need to. There was no smoke yet. But I did wrap them up in, you know, their, what's it called in English? Hungarian. Thank you. In Hungarian, it's called a ponjola.
Ponjola.
This is like me going into my bilingual state. And gave them each a banana. I'm like, we're going to have some fun. We're going to meet some firefighters. Mummy's excited. And let me tell you, they didn't disappoint either. So my neighbour, who's very sweet, he was home and he went into the kitchen and he could see that there was still a bit of fire, but at the same time the firefighters came, so they just hopped on him because it's gas and electricity and you don't want to spray the wrong thing. So he didn't want to do anything. So, but it was pretty,
Oof.
So anyway.
That's actually creepy. Yeah.
Very
creepy.
Let's go home afterwards and make sure our gas, because I've also got gas. So, Oscar's not going to be happy.
On the website.
PSA. Yeah, we're okay.
So what about you? What else on the viewing front?
I've been watching the continuation of Just Like That, which is the Sex and the City continuation.
Oh, did you? Okay, what's the verdict?
That was a face plant for those of those. Yeah. Face palm.
Face palm. Yeah, it was a real life
going,
face
oh my
palm.
God. She's like, oh my God, Nat, you watched that shit?
Well, no, I did. I watched the old one, like the last most recent, but I started
it's
and went.
Better.
Is it?
But it's still bad.
It's still bad.
It's good bad.
Is it good bad though?
I like it.
You can get through it.
Aiden's back this week.
Oh, okay. So maybe. What episode? Can you skip 7 to that one?
Yeah. They're each a vignette in itself, but some of the scenes are hilarious.
Like, oh, okay.
So all comic. Right. You know we're in Australia.
Yeah.
Kookaburras.
Cookers.
The kookaburra.
Crikey.
For our Australian friends. Shrimp on the barbie. So anyway, so that was one, and it's total crap.
Like, okay.
It's so perfect for just vegging out. It's an hour, so it's just like a movie.
Okay, yes, yeah.
It's a
nice
and
clothes.
The other one, I love the fashion.
Yeah, the fashion's cool.
The last episode was a little unrealistic, though. They had like a massive snowstorm, and you could kind of tell the CGI situation. And they were also wearing this amazing clothing. I'm going, anything below 5 degrees, and I'm not wearing anything. No. I'm not showing any skin, and they're in like dresses and high heels. And I'm like,
in the snow. Can you imagine?
Come on, like seriously. But just as a quick sidebar, one of my colleagues put me onto a podcast called, oh gosh, I didn't write it down. I just wrote podcast. Oh my gosh.
Oh my god.
I'll have to. It's based off. I can't remember it. I will put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
But basically, it's all they basically go through each of the episodes and they discuss continuation of themes, like ideas or outfits. They talk a lot about the outfits and
the
fashion.
New episodes or old ones?
They've been going on. Well, they didn't do the original ones. They started with Just Like That, but they also talk about the original one in retrospect. I'm guessing that the people on there are younger than us.
Yeah, right.
Unfortunately, more and more people are. Which is a little bit, I know it is, isn't it? Because they talked about in the last episode, it was a Halloween thing, and Charlotte dressed up as Kerry Russell from The Russians, which I loved show. And they talk about how, well, no one's going to get that reference because only our parents watched that show. And I'm like going, okay, firstly, the fact that you're old enough to be doing a podcast and you're saying your parents must mean you're in your 20s, I'm guessing, which means your parents are in their 40s roughly-ish, maybe 50s. Which makes me that gen, oh, us, that no, generation.
No, and I'm not even that as old as us.
What? No.
Yeah, that doesn't make
so
any
like,
sense.
So, like, I'm like, what, listening, going, I'm feeling older.
Yeah.
But but the podcast isn't bad. I don't love it. My colleague loves it. She's been raving on about it. But I'm listened to 2 episodes. I'm going to give it 1 more and that's it.
Oh, okay. But like a bad book.
Yeah, but it's a bit like what I do like about it is how they reference from, you know, Kerry's wearing this outfit, but do you recognize that it's the same belt from blah, 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 which was the season of whatever.
Oh, my God.
You know what?
I don't think I could cope.
I love all that stuff.
Really?
The fashion.
But maybe it's not that because, minutiae.
But it's also about the carry through that they don't necessarily just aren't about, you know, what's the latest fashion. It's about how they carry pieces through and how some things are just quality and when it's good, it's good and or links to certain themes and ideas. It's clever. It's actually clever because you forget how much thought goes into making a TV show.
Yeah, and that on that note, I do follow SJP on Instagram.
Do you now? See,
yeah.
I would never have picked that.
No,
but then again, Liz, you're always wonderfully full of surprises, which is why I love you.
So she has a really quirky little... first of all, she's a massive reader, which makes
SJP is Sarah Jessica Parker, for those of you who didn't pick
that.
And it's, what is it? It's SATC, Sex and the City, and then JLT is Just Like That. So everything's SJP and JLT and SATC.
She didn't tell me that.
FYI.
Last time we spoke.
FWIW.
But her, so she does cute photos with cute little kind of, cute's not the right word, like kind of interesting little vignettes of her day. Like she just goes on the subway and then, you know, just stuff she sees along the way. And then she just kind of does a few words about each one, like not a big, and often her garden or just what she's reading or like.
She still live in New York?
Well, she's got a pretty big backyard, so I don't know.
Maybe Brooklyn?
Maybe Brooklyn or something. Yeah, it looks a bit like she's in near the vicinity. But it's a really nice little Insta feed.
I'll have to join that one.
Join that one, yeah.
Well, if we're talking Insta feeds, I love Hester Is Not a Cat.
Don't know that.
So it's a cat who swims. It's all it is.
God.
It's like Oscar.
I love it.
Actually, I'm going to be getting Oscar, who is my cat, for those of you who don't know. I'm getting him a harness so that I can take him outside. And my plan, my long-term cat plan, is to take him to the Rose Bay Beach. No, it's to get him to the beach. Like, I'll probably have to get one of those backpacks because it's up across
a
big road.
The sea. Well, just not in the vicinity of the sea.
No, I don't think they like cars and roads. So I'm thinking more. I think he'd love the beach.
Yeah.
I want him to swim. I want to sit on the beach with him.
Swim.
Can you imagine me going to the beach with Oscar in summer and
well,
have him sit
no
next
dogs.
To me?
It doesn't say no cats.
No, you can have dogs at this beach. This is a dog beach in Rose Bay. Yeah.
Oh, I know the one. Yeah.
So, but then that's also a problem because it's a dog beach. There'll be dogs there, so he might get freaked out. Or the dogs will freak out from Oscar.
Oh, yeah. We'll
but
start,
I could go
we'll
at a quiet
start with
time.
Around the block.
I'm going to start with Around the Block. Yeah. So that's Hester Is Not a Cat. And the other one is One World, One Bike, I think. I'll make sure I get it down. And it's about this dog and a cat. No, sorry, that one's about a cat who travels with its bike owner around the world.
Oh, my
God.
And
all they do is travel and take travel photos with themselves in the cat in the weirdest places and most... Just wherever.
We haven't had Instagram feeds on the podcast before, so this is new territory.
This is new territory.
So, you've got to, if you do need a little pick me up, the Artie the Wombat.
Oh, Artie?
Artie the Wombat.
Nice.
Oh my God, it's a little girl with a wombat.
Oh,
and that's just the baby wombat. It's the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life.
How about I think it's called Official Wes Anderson or Wes Anderson Official.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah.
How good is that?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, yeah.
Like all his movies, but like still frames.
Yes, so good. So good. Anything Wes Anderson.
Finally,
so good.
We connected on one.
Yeah.
Excellent. And what about books?
So So books, let me just like fire up my phone again. What if my phone doesn't know my face today?
It's because you got sunnies on and you're looking super cool with the sunnies on that, cool and your hair my, and your hair is, you know, cascading down your face. You're looking awfully kind of, you know, rock and roll right
so you
now.
You don't look so, you don't look completely shit today.
No, you don't look, you look fabulous, darling.
It's like, I always think of Fleabag at the funeral.
Look amazing. Such a great...
You look great. I just got my nose.
And you even look like
it doesn't matter what I do with my hair. It just looks fantastic.
I just look fantastic. Oh, yes, Phoebe.
Okay, so... Oh, okay, a couple of good books. Yes. So I did finish... So just... I did finish Stanley Tucci.
Mm.
And now he's got a show on SBS, which is really good if you like Stanley Tucci. I love
he
him.
He came up on my Insta feed.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's
Stanley
so
Tucci.
He's... Yeah, really good. He's really good in the travel show. And he's... Yeah, he's... I'm really suspicious about super skinny people who are so into food. Like, where does it go? I don't know. Anyway, this is just me being...
well, some people just have ridiculously fast metabolisms.
Yeah.
And some people have ridiculously slow metabolism, and that's like...
He does say he does in the book. He says he has a very fast metabolism. Anyway, that's good.
We wish we had a fast metabolism.
Italy, all about pasta. He's Italian. He speaks Italian with the locals. He's like, it's really, really good. And I really love the book. And I actually listened to that one on Audible because he's reading it. And it's so good. I love
I'm doing that next.
I love an autobiography where it's the...
Yep.
The other book,
it's a bit like the Michael Caine one that you read.
Yeah, blow the bloody doors off.
That's very good.
Bad accent. Mum recommended this, and I am partway through this. It's kind of gritty and grim side of Paris. A Waiter in Paris. I think it's recently published. I've seen it at Berkeley, and this one is also on Audible.
Mm-hmm.
And
how are you finding the fiction on Audible?
No, I'm not a fiction fan on Audible.
No, neither am I. I can't do it.
Do you drift off and think, and you think, oh no, I've missed the plot?
Yep.
What is it about?
So I did do a bit of a reflection exercise on that point.
Yes, I'm actually very interested in this.
So I did read, I started reading The Gentleman of Moscow, or listening to The Gentleman. And what I found was I was driving or walking and my mind would wander, like you just
wandering
said.
Wandering mind.
And so when I'm listening to a nonfiction, it's not, you can dive in and out enough to be able to follow
the
thing.
Doesn't
and
kill the...
No, and unless you don't know that topic much, for example, then you can always go, so I'm listening to a psychology book at the moment. And so, like, I get the concepts in theory, like, overarching. So if I miss, like, a few words or even a sentence, I can dip back in because my mind sort of, like, darts off for a moment and go, I need to get milk and maybe some bread and...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's where I'm listening. And so... It's okay, but if you're listening to fiction, every word counts. Like everything adds
really
to
does.
The story, what's being said. It's like when you doze off watching TV and you wake up, you know, a minute later and you're like, what happened? And you've missed it.
And
you need to go
think
back.
There's something about there is an interpretation in the reading, and particularly now that sometimes they use multiple, well, they use multiple voices, and they also often sometimes use multiple voice readers.
Oh, do they?
And so I do feel like I'm even separated further from the original text because someone else is already interpreting it and they already have a sound that might not be the you know, like when you see a movie and you go, no, that's not what the character looks like when I read the book.
I
feel
know,
like
in
that's
your mind,
a bit they've already done a layer that is not in the text.
And do you think also
added a layer?
Do you
done
think
a layer.
Done a layer.
Sounds like done if done a layer. Done a layer, gonna be up for 4 weeks.
Could go so many levels, but we're keeping it clean, people. We're keeping it clean. So the other thing I think of is, so nonfiction to me is often something that I'm learning. So like I often do a lot of psychology or I'm listening to something to learn it. And so the learning process for me can sometimes be like watching a lecture or watching a clip. And so, or reading. And so my openness to getting information through the learning process is quite broad. But with books or fiction, to me, that's a very different thing. I'm not doing it to learn. I'm doing it to, well, it's a different thought process.
Yeah.
So for me, it's about reading and enjoying and losing myself in it. And
losing yourself, yeah.
Reading and the act of reading a book. And I know you do Kindle, but I do,
did both. Yeah.
I'm still purist and
yes, just the
I have
just the
done
paper.
It before when I've traveled and stuff because it's easier, but I do prefer a book. I love getting
a
new book,
a book
and
too.
I
That's
love
still my best.
The achievement and the getting to the end just and
sorry
she's getting naked people.
I've got to take the underlayer off.
This is fun for me. Is that a Uniqlo?
I'll just take that. this one. It's a booty.
Oh, booty. Very nice.
Yeah.
I like it. So I think it's also the way that I read is part of the process too for fiction. And so whilst I've tried doing a few books on fiction, I just don't enjoy it as much.
Yeah, it's weird.
Because I float off too much. Whilst if I'm reading, I don't float. It's like meditation.
You don't float.
There.
You're doing an extra mechanical thing that...
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm totally with you with that. I'm agreeing on everything today.
Well, it's not like we're highly argumentative, but that's okay. Any other books?
So the other one... here we are. So Sebastian Barry, I've read stuff by him before. I can't remember any of them, but this one's called Old God's Time, and it's set in, I think he's an Irish writer, and it's about a retired policeman with some trauma, and it's sort of quite almost dreamlike. You're sort of not quite sure what's imagined, what's real, and beautifully written, beautifully written. I'm going to pass it on to you when I finish.
Okay.
So I'm almost there. It's just a gorgeous book. So
sounds really interesting.
Really good.
I find those books really good where you're kind of not quite sure what's reality versus a dreamlike state and you're trying having to decipher. And sometimes, life sometimes feels weird enough to be a dream.
Yeah, and it is there's quite a bit of there is institutional abuse from the Catholic Church kind of underlying it.
Yep.
So it's not bits are not always easy to read, but it's not also written in a kind of such a lyrical, beautiful way that sometimes you can handle hard topics depending on how it's packaged, even though it's quite brutal, some of it.
Yeah.
Now I think about it, but somehow it's all right because you're going to wait to see if this character is going to kind of survive or not, in a kind of general sense. So that's my recommendation.
Yeah, I find really well-written books, though, irrespective, especially if it's a very hard topic, it makes it more palatable and digestible because the beauty of the writing carries you through the trauma of what you're actually reading versus something that's so badly written, but, it's an important topic. You'll sometimes read it because you feel like you want to. But it's not well written.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and you do. And the test is if you want to grab a few minutes, if it's a little break from work, you grab your book and have a cup of tea. That's a sign of a good book.
Absolutely.
So that's how I feel about this book.
Then
next on my pile, which I just bought, is Iris, Australian writer, and it's about one of the women from the Razor Gangs in the 20s who terrorised this very park in which we sit.
Is she friends with Love Tilly Devine?
I think from all that, yes. I think it's that kind of... And she's written it... I heard her interviewed. She's written it in the vernacular of the time. So she did a lot of study of court records and witness testimony and was talking about the fact that very often in history women's voices are lost.
Hello.
And one of the ways that they're captured are in... court testimony, because it's verbatim. You say
verbatim.
I say verbatim.
You say
verbatim.
Let's call the whole thing off. And I love that. That's okay. That's the title of
verbatim. Verbatim. Let's call the whole thing off. Yeah.
Is it Toblerone or Toblerone?
Or Toblerone.
You sure? Putting that one out to the body. Okay, you let us know what you think. Which reminds me, so I know you asked me about The Weeknd, the Belvoir.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm into that. But then the other one that I don't know if you've got tickets yet for the Dictionary of Lost Words.
No.
So that's coming out at the Sydney Theatre Company later this year.
So that was one of my unfinished Audible books.
Okay, so I can understand why it's unfinished, but the book is amazing.
No, yeah. Okay, I'm going to have to go back to the physical book.
Do you have it? Because I have a copy.
I think
very happy. For once, I can lend it to you if you don't.
Maybe.
It's such a good book. I think I may have talked about it on the podcast. And it's like what you just said. Like, the whole premise of the book is that women's language is lost because they weren't the ones who were documenting the words. And so the story is of how this young woman, girl, and then becomes a woman, pulls together a dictionary of the women. I think it's set in the 19th century or earlier 20th century, that kind of time. Maybe even, just pre-war, going into the war, World War One, that is. And it's all about capturing the language of women of different classes even. Fascinating. So similar to your the other one that you were just talking about, how it captures verbatim.
Verbatim. Sorry, there's a little winds coming up, so I'm creating like a mini studio with my
discarded t-shirt.
My hand also is trying to block the wind.
Marks will be back next time.
Hopefully we'll remember.
Okay, so that's Sydney Theatre Company? Or
yes. So Belvoir's the weekend and then Sydney Theatre. So if you want, we'll book each other in. Yeah. Okay, good. Done. So any other books that you've read?
I think that's all I wrote down. Let me just have a quick squizzy. But I had such a bad reading run.
Considering it's only been 3 weeks, Liz, it's really not a bad reading run.
I hadn't really had anything very interesting, so that was that was kind of a nice to have a really, you know, really, really well written book.
Mm-hmm.
I did pop into the MCA Contemporary Art Museum.
The new one at the Australian. Not the Australian, New South Wales National
Gallery. No, the one at the Rocks. Yeah. And I have never been in there. I don't know how happened. Yeah.
How is that?
No, I have been in there for events, but I have never. I'm a member at the New South Wales Art Gallery.
It's not like you can't go to with the one because you're a member of the other.
No, it is.
Did you feel disloyal?
There's no excuse.
I find that amazing that you've never been to the MCA. Yeah.
I just don't think I ever kind of go around to the Rocks. And,
My office is literally next door to that now.
I think I might become a member. It was pouring with rain. I went in and, oh my God, I was blown away. Absolutely blown away. Indigenous art on the entry level. And then the next floor up had some Tracy Moffat work that was so good, so good. I think it's called First Jobs and they're all like 1970s vignette photos.
Oh, yeah.
And she's in it. Like she's the character is in each one, and so it's really, really great. But I haven't finished the gallery. I have to go back, but that was great.
I'll come meet you because honestly, my office is right there now, so I'm very
trundle
happy.
Trundle in.
I often go down and sit by Circular Quay. It's just sunny and gorgeous. It's just good. A bit of a blessing, actually.
It's just magical. Well, I think the Bastille Festival was on.
I saw that there,
and I think that's we decided to sort of go back and revisit it on the weekend, which was a really bad idea. On the last night, it was a bad idea because it was so busy and raining. But
yeah, I saw it being set up.
Yeah, the day we went in it
Friday
evening.
Had a quick crepe on the way through from the office to the ferry.
Crepe in a Beaujolais.
I only did the crepe, but I should have done a Beaujolais.
It's very good. It's very good. So what else? Yeah, that's me.
That's you.
I'm out. Yeah.
Well, I don't have much to say other than
I don't know about this.
You do or you don't?
No, I do.
Have you read this?
No.
Oh, so the book is Homecoming by Kate Morton. Do you have it? Because I have it.
No.
You're very welcome to it.
Okay.
I've almost finished it.
I want the report first.
Okay, so the report is that it's a real LPT, literary page turner.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, like one of those that you will want to read during lunch kind of thing or when you just have a break. And
LPT.
It's a great, the LPT, yeah. You know me. It's Friday, people. We're feeling silly. A lot of singing, booby touching.
Very musical.
Wait for the outtakes, people.
Yeah, that's be wondering.
So the story, without giving anything away, it's a family history, Australia, set in two times, one around now-ish. And one in the late 1950s, with the story kind of going back to maybe early 1900s. The early part of the book is set in South Australia, and the more recent time is set here in the eastern suburbs, actually.
Oh.
Around, there's a house called Darling House, which I don't know if it's around Darling Point or if it's... It sounds a bit like what Vaucluse House could have been if it was a little bit smaller and had a better garden.
Right.
So it's something like a bit of an old manor is the premise of the book. And without giving too much away, it's just a bit of a historical family, interesting story. And I love it because it's very Australian. It's set around Christmas and it's hot.
Oh,
and you just the garden and what flowers are in bloom and you're hearing, I feel like that warm, humid
sense of place
that you have in summer where you've got the sweetness in the air.
That real Sydney feel.
Yeah, and like the jacarandas have just finished and you can feel the stickiness but the sweetness in just everything around you and that real Christmas in Sydney.
Yeah.
and ooh, the harbour.
Can I be in the line for that one? Is anyone absolutely in the queue?
Yes, there
me?
Is one person. Oh, Mother.
Vera.
Sadbus. She's still in Budapest. She'll okay. hear it.
I'll hop in
she'll
behind
Vera.
She'll
be back in a few weeks or 2 weeks. And then she said she could borrow it, by which good. Time I'll have it. And then I promise, oh, I like you, she's a voracious.
Don't
ferocious.
Lend me that next one because I really didn't like it.
I know you didn't. I've been dabbling in and out. So we're talking about Trent Dalton's love stories. I've just been dipping in and out of
yeah,
the stories.
It's a dippable. It's dippable.
I don't want to read the whole book because I remember what you said, but yeah. then you didn't like Overstory, which I loved.
No, but I didn't actually give it that much of a try.
I think you might want to revisit
I
that
think
one.
I do. I think I was do in the wrong it? Headspace.
Because I do.
Yeah, I do still have it, and I feel like I was just in a bad reading mood.
Yeah.
Or just a bad mood. Or just possibly a bad mood.
I can't ever imagine you being in a bad mood, but I can, yes. I think it happens. Sometimes you need to be in the right headspace for a book.
Yes.
And sometimes you need a lighter book, so that Homecoming would be good. But for something more serious, but like beautifully written, Overstory. I really highly recommend it.
Okay, my resolution, my August resolution is to give that a crack.
I really think you should. Right. Before the silly spring season hits us and we get some, again, more people.
People,
it's a big park. Leave us alone.
Why through here?
I don't know. Well, they don't even realise they're being recorded, but anyway. But no, the reason I haven't got very much, I was saying to you before, like, and I think I wanted to share this with the bubblers around how, you know, we set... Oh, did I just lose us? No. We set up out of the bubble because we felt like we weren't doing very much, and it was an accountability exercise. And we're now 43 episodes in.
Whoa.
I know, gosh. Right? And I think for the most part, even during COVID, we were really good at seeking things out. And, you know, I remember like that time we did the Sydney dance.
Oh, yeah.
What are they called?
We had a little dance party.
We did a dance party in our lounge rooms because, what is it? The Sydney Dance Company was doing, like, for $10, you could join, and they gave us choreography, and we were doing it in each of our lounge rooms with a glass of wine.
It was actually fun.
But whilst we were on Zoom.
It's a bit sad that finished.
I know. I quite liked it. And we did other things as well like that. So I think we've been really good. So I just started this new job a couple of weeks ago, and the transition into it and having been in contracting for 15 months, 16 months, and then now gone back to permanent, I'm feeling just it's been a really big few weeks, and I just haven't had the desire to do anything. So literally my weekends, I have spent whole days in bed reading or watching TV, like nothing of any great consequence, but not wanting because my brain was just fried. And I've been really happy to be in my bubble, but now I'm kind of on the other side, and now I'm kind of ready to come back out
just
again.
Dip your toe out.
Yeah.
Start with a little gentle theatre outing.
Yes, I think that sounds fabulous. But I do think it's important sometimes to recognise whilst it's important to get out of your bubble and push yourself. And it's also winter, not that you would know it right now. I'm here in a singlet.
Yeah.
And it's so hot and you're in a T-shirt. But you know, sometimes you do need to just take care of yourself, and that's important. And sometimes you do need that mindless just sleeping and just reading crap or watching crap, and that's okay.
Why, and that's why I think we both like our highbrow, lowbrow, because it's really like there's depending on your mood and what you've got the ability to like consume.
Yeah.
And as you know, we've said before, sometimes a little bit of like TV Valium's quite nice too. Like
so
the
good.
Sex in the City. Like you just need that.
So
sometimes.
Good.
Yeah.
I totally
nothing
agree.
Wrong with that.
No, so I just thought I'd share them. I'm a bit light on this week. But also we actually got into a good habit of doing
them. We managed to like
3 weeks.
Gab our way up to 45 minutes of
Look at that.
No problems.
So I'm just going to do another friendly reminder before we sign off about the fact that we do have a Facebook and Instagram of Out of the Bubble, as well as our website, outofthebubble.com.au. So please, lovely listener or listeners, there's not one. I hope there's just one. I know there's not just one because we do get the metrics. We do see not where you are, but we see, well, actually we do know where you are.
Yeah, we do see where you are.
Only by country.
By country.
And it's not individual, by the way. Yeah, we don't know who you are. And if we come to your door, no, I'm joking. That's just weird.
But please tell a friend.
Yeah,
we'd
please
love to
just
grow
tell
them,
one
grow
friend.
The base. Yeah,
or
friend.
Share us on your Facebook or Insta when you see us, because we would love to grow. So
yeah, it would be nice. Yeah,
do you remember our other goal around setting this up?
I just want people to send me free books.
No, we had a bigger dream than
that. Did we?
We wanted the free books, but we also wanted to
private
be able
jet.
To Well, no, not that far. Oh. Somewhere in between, honey. No, what we wanted was that we would get paid to travel the world and see interesting festivals and go to, like, the Cannes Film Festival and go to, you know, New York Book Festival and be given free stuff. But, you know, we need to get sponsors. So if you're a sponsor or know someone who's looking to sponsor, we would love to sell your wares as long as it's within our value set.
And in the meantime, we don't get paid. We just love just to share.
Exactly. Yeah, but if, you know, I don't know, Angus and Robertson or Alan and Unwin or, I don't know, Penguin, whoever wants to be our... Isn't that still a thing?
So, no, my husband says penguin.
Oh, I say penguin.
Because his parents are Romanian.
Yeah, I say penguin
and
too.
It's just like to rounds of laughter.
Me too. I say penguin.
And he says, what is wrong with penguin? And
everyone goes, it's penguin.
It's penguin.
Okay, so let's just discuss the fact. Do you remember back in the 70s and 80s, there was that TV show, I think it was still on even when my kids were little, called Pingu?
Pingu.
Penguin.
So how
Pingu.
But how do you spell it in Hungarian? It's probably spelt with an I.
Probably.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
Yeah,
it's
no,
my
I think
Hungarian.
It's a different spelling, yeah.
It's like the Pondula incident.
Yeah.
Mixing my languages in my head. But penguin. I also get paid out by my family because they say it's penguin.
About laughing,
I'm like,
yeah.
No, it's penguin.
But only in Hungary and Romania, I think.
Well, they're right next door to each other.
Yeah, I love that.
When one of my oldest one is traveling and they'll be going to Austria. There's a t-shirt that I want her to take a photo. It says, Austria is not Australia, because a lot of people go to Austria thinking it's Australia and they get the two confused. I'm like, how could you get and then the other one is Budapest is not, oh no, Bucharest is not Budapest. Because people get those two confused. Seriously, people.
And just on we should probably finish up, but just a final note on countries.
Yep.
One of the things, the evening event in our house is Wordle plus now.
I've never played
Treadle.
Treadle.
Then there's Nerdle.
I say Treadle.
And but the Treadle one
What's
is.
What's Nerdle?
Nerdle. Oh, it's getting so confused. So there's one where, I don't know which one's which, we start with Wordle. That's more of my strong suit, not the others that follow. There's a maths one, I think it's Nerdle.
Uh-huh.
I don't even try that one.
Oh,
but
I'd
there's
love that
two
one.
Geography ones in between. Mm. One is you are given the the gross domestic product and the trades, and you have to guess which country it is.
That's
and
so good.
And then if you get whatever your guess is, it's like Wordle, you get five guesses or whatever, it gives you the direction that you need to head to get
so
to the
north,
right country.
South, east, or west.
Yeah, and how far
I
away
love
you are.
That.
So
and
really good.
Youngest child is about to do geography for HSC.
I love it. Yeah, and
okay,
the other
I'll
one
that
is
I'll start
how
that tonight.
You have to get from. It will say something like you have to get from Papua New Guinea to Iceland the quickest possible way. Which countries do you have to jump across to get to?
I love that.
So good as well.
That's
really
great for geography.
Really good for geography. So
do you like that one?
I think
Betty?
They're all New York Times things. So
oh, I'm definitely
check
so Wordle.
It's a fun
I've
family.
Never got into, but I love the Nerdle and the geography.
Well, see,
ones.
All of them combined. There's usually in a family like enough people
it.
To cover all the bases. So,
I love it. And does everyone get involved?
We all crowd around the computer. Sometimes people, certain people, confess that they've already done it during the day. One of them.
No.
But that's usually Wordle. But anyway, that's quite a fun little family event.
I love that.
When you gather
that
before
is
or
so
after dinner.
Cool. All right. Well, I think that might need to be a good tradition in my house too, particularly the geography one. And
yeah,
I love
great.
The maths.
It's really good.
I'm
like,
such
I realize
a nerd
I'm
with
terrible
maths.
At geography. Like, I can't like physically place them on the map.
I'm
like,
usually
together.
Not bad. I find geography is pretty. It's
oh,
not
you'll
bad.
Love it. You'll absolutely love it.
Is there
it.
One for history? Because I love history.
Oh, maybe. I don't. I haven't looked.
There'd be history
oh, there's surely,
in the house.
Surely there would be.
Hurdle. Something you got to jump over. I've got to tell you about one last thing. Can I tell you my joke that I made up?
Oh, yeah, good. Okay.
So I was, well,
I
this isn't
nervous,
the joke.
Though.
This
what
is the background.
Laugh?
It's fine. I think it's hilarious, so I don't care. So I was walking in the... This isn't the joke. This is just the build-up. So I was walking in the car park with... just actually by myself. No dog. Just by myself. And this man was walking two sheep. I swear to God, baby sheep, lambs. A black and a white sheep. I'm just walking. Okay, I've seen dogs, I've seen cats.
Oh my God.
I've seen a bunny. I've never seen sheep in Rosebay.
No, that's
okay.
Me, yeah.
So I get home and I'd already thought of the joke and I said to my son, what does a bored lamb say or bored sheep say? Meh.
Oh my God. That's actually good.
Thank you.
Yeah, fish bump.
Fish bump. Fish bump. And on that note, bubblers, okay. Please go to our website, share us, love us.
And see, yeah, see
and
in a
listen
few weeks.
To our outtakes.
Yeah, here it comes.
Ready
coming
for,
up now.
Coming up now. Bye.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
And I'm just going to move yours up a bit because it was a bit.
Was it too low?
It was a bit low, yeah,
bit
last time. Yeah. Yeah, I'm just. Okay.
How's
well, that
sound?
Was a scarf.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, maybe this way. So I'll do it. Directional.
You just want to touch my boobs.
Yeah, I just do want to have a little grope.
Meep, meep.
Wap, wap. And I'll just add my notes.
Yours?
Yeah, and my. Oh. And I just got to get my notes.
Do you want me to stop recording?
Are we recording?
Oh, yeah,
was that the test?
That was the test.
All right, that's the test.
Do you want to
okay.
test your thing? Or are you just happy to record?
So, no, I think I'm happy to record because that.